away from home birth and the birth scene to the prenatal period and workforce for our registered nurses. So I think for the benefit of the tape, I'm supposed to just say that we're going to be discussing an innovative continuing education program for maternity nurses for prematurity prevention. I do have a disclosure to announce. I don't have a disclosure slide like I'm supposed to, but for this project, I served as a paid consultant for the ACNM Foundation, where this project has been housed since 2006, 2007. And further, the foundation received a series of unrestricted educational grants from Hologic, Inc., who manufactures one of the particular tests that I'm going to be describing here. So that's my disclosure for today. I just want to review. This audience, I know you're quite familiar with the situation of preterm birth in the United States. So I just want to review a few things and then add a few more details about the worldwide scene for prenatal or for preterm birth. So the 2012 data just came out this past week, and for the sixth consecutive year in a row, the preterm birth rate has declined in the U.S. It's now 11.5%. However, we still aren't back to the rate that we had in 1990. So this is all relative. Just keep that in mind. Worldwide, there's 15 million preterm births per year in the world. 1.1 million of those babies born prematurely die from the complications of the preterm birth. There's about a half million preterm births in the U.S., but there's 15 countries that make up two-thirds of the preterm birth worldwide, and guess where the U.S. falls there. Of course, we are amongst those 15 countries. And we score a stunning 131st in the world in preterm birth rates. So we have a huge problem with preterm birth in this country. It's really significant. So as a public health audience, I wanted to make that point. The racial and ethnic disparities persist, even though this year the disparities narrowed with the 2012. We're now, I'll use the black non-Hispanic women compared to the white non-Hispanic women. It's the preterm birth rate is 1.5 times greater for the black non-Hispanic women, which is great news, again, keeping it relative. Within the preterm births for the whites and blacks in this category, for whites, the reason for neonatal death, the highest reason, is congenital malformation. For non-Hispanic black women, neonates die most often because of complications from preterm birth and low birth weight. So these disparities within race, despite our improving statistics, are very important. Half of the racial disparities between blacks and whites in the U.S. are explained by this preterm birth rate. So we also know that preterm birth accounts for about half of the neurologic disabilities in those babies who survive. So it is a huge impact there. Regarding the cost to society, I'll just mention the financial cost, and that is that it's over $26 billion a year in the U.S. spent toward the care of preterm infants of preterm birth. So I think I've established that it remains a very, very important problem here in the U.S. Now, we're all very familiar with the routine risk factors for preterm birth. Just very quickly, there's a previous preterm birth, quite obviously, multiple gestation, abnormalities of the cervix and the uterus, medical risk, chronic conditions, various environmental and behavioral risks, demographics, some of which I mentioned earlier, genetics, assisted reproduction, and then a combination of those factors. But the reason I'm reporting on this project and have been involved in it is that there are additional factors not having to do with the medical risk of the woman or factors related to pregnancy. There can be delays or errors in evaluation, diagnosis, and treatment of women who are in preterm labor or at risk for preterm labor. One important thing is because of a lack of understanding of the signs and symptoms of preterm labor for women themselves, but also for providers of obstetrical care, especially in the late second trimester, early through third trimester period, where the symptoms of preterm labor are actually much more subtle than they are later as pregnancy advances. There's also problems in diagnosis and delays in treatment because of lack of knowledge about specimen collection, and that's something I'm going to be focusing on in this presentation. And this extends not just to nurses or the people who might first encounter the women, but also for physicians and midwives as well. Now, the other issue is limitation in the scope of practice for registered nurses. And most of the focus that we've had about scope of practice for nurses has been in for nurse midwives, for advanced nurse practitioners, for other midwives. So most of the focus has been there. However, I'm going to be emphasizing limitations in the scope of practice of registered nurses for this particular topic. So it certainly can be a barrier to the diagnosis and treatment. So this program I'm going to describe to you, the overall goal of it is to prepare the maternity nurse workforce with knowledge and skills needed to make accurate and timely preterm labor assessments. Now, even though they might not be making the diagnosis themselves, this is their role in contributing toward these timely and accurate assessments. The program that I'm going to be describing was developed by expert midwives who also had public health and education backgrounds. And with that, I'll acknowledge two of my key colleagues are in the room with us here today, Dr. Elaine Germano, here in the front, and Dr. Joanna Rory, both of whom are the closest colleagues for the development of this program. It's relevant that we have this education and public health background because of the way in which the program was designed. So I think by the time we get to the end, you'll see why that was so important to have that perspective. Here's my disclosure, and I mentioned to that earlier that it's supported by the ACNM Foundation. But the Foundation board took upon themselves to focus on prematurity prevention initiatives in the 2005-2006 period. And for those of you who know the preterm birth data, that's pretty much when the climb of the rate was getting very dramatic. And one of the board members had been involved in a program to prepare maternity nurses with greater skills to be able to do some of the new testing that had been developed at that time. So the board stayed with that project, and we worked closely with the American College of Nurse Midwives to work with the various phases of this program. What I'm going to describe is really a three-phase program. It started in 2006 and 2007 with the development of the first phase here, which was an online continuing education program for nurses. Basically, it was the knowledge aspect taught about not only some of the basics for preterm birth, but more focused on actually conducting a sterile specimen exam. Now, just to review, registered nurses who work in the obstetrical setting almost always are able to do digital exams of the cervix to check for dilatation and progress in labor. Not all nurses are prepared or feel prepared or are allowed to do the sterile specimen exam in advance of that to collect specimens, and that's what this program focuses on. So the nurses, different than we were going to add a new test that we might teach doctors or midwives about, we wouldn't be reviewing the basics of actually how to do the speculum exam. So this online program, about 36 slides long, had a video embedded within it, and gave the nurse one continuing education credit for that step. So after the development of that, there was more interest shown in actually getting out there and teaching the nurses skills. It's not enough to see how a speculum exam is done. You really have to have hands-on, be able to work with pelvic models and practice so that the nurse can feel adequate. And it's also typically part of the way nurses add skills in their scope of practice. It's required by the setting to have knowledge, then skills, then competency assessment. So in 2008, it was actually Elaine Germano and I prepared for an on-site pilot, but before that we realized we had to prepare the faculty, even though we were going to select experts, meaning certified nurse midwives or clinical specialists, nurse practitioners who had the skill and were proven excellent clinical teachers, we realized we needed a program for them. So we established the faculty preparation manual and in the process set up a pilot testing of the program itself. After some minor revisions from that, we started in earnest in 2009 with the actual live on-site programs. Along with the on-site program comes that next phase that's done in the clinical setting after we leave from the skills program, and that is where a nurse then would demonstrate to either a physician or a midwife or a clinical nurse specialist that they had the skill, that they could in fact do the speculum exam, and we're doing it properly for that setting. Again, it's typical that nursing education within a hospital or facility would require that. So the on-site component itself, the RNs first complete the online CE program that I mentioned, and then expert faculty train the RNs in the sterile spec exam and the specimen collection, and I'm going to be showing you a couple of slides that show that in process. There's several specimens that are collected in this context. It was driven by the fetal fibronectin product, which Hologic is the manufacturer of. But fetal fibronectin, I'll just review this quickly. It was the first biochemical marker that assisted us to actually identify true risk of preterm birth. It's a glycoprotein, won't get into all of that, but in fact, if that is present in the specimen taken when a woman presents for preterm birth with preterm birth symptoms, for instance, then the negative predictive value of that test is fantastic. It's 99% of the women with a negative test will not have a preterm birth within the next 7 to 10 days. But if the test is positive, then that woman, the percentages might have changed a little bit from the original data, but about 15% of those women would go on to have preterm birth. So what this does is help separate the women with symptoms who are not going to have that preterm birth from those who have symptoms and have a much higher risk. So for those of us who like to keep interventions from occurring if they aren't needed, it's really very, very helpful. And like an awful lot of tests that we use in obstetrics, the positive predictive value is not great, but at least we know we're focusing on the right group of women for those interventions. The important thing about fetal fibronectin is it has to be the very first specimen taken. So it can't be done after a digital exam. There can't be lubricants and things like that from a bimanual exam or digital exam. So it's got to be done first, and it has to be done in a timely way. What happens in practice, as a lot of us know is that the maternity nurse might be the first one dealing in triage. If it's an extra busy unit, then a woman could actually go several hours, I think. Joanna, am I correct? Several hours before the midwife or doctor, whoever in the system who's expected to do this, shows up to take the specimen. So it delays the whole process, delays diagnosis, and then the chances that there's going to be ruptured membranes, which could invalidate the test, or that there be some other kind of exam with lubricant or something, rises. So if the person greeting the woman at risk or in possible preterm birth can take that specimen right away, then that's where the contact needs to be made. In addition to the fetal fibronectin, however, there's a whole array of specimens to be taken that have to do with evaluating for ruptured membranes, but also infections that we know to either increase the risk of preterm birth, like especially GC and chlamydia, or trichomonas, but also those that could affect the baby's health, group B strep and herpes. So all of those specimens should be collected all at the same time, along with the fetal fibronectin, and this program is designed for the nurse to be able to not only do the exam, but also then follow the proper sequence of taking these specimens. And there is definitely an order to all of that. So what we did in the program was also design these specimen collection kits and teaching to the nurses using the actual specimen collection they would be using at their facility. So the faculty that's sent out, they actually create that in the form of a specimen collection board while they're there on site. So these are the essential components of the on-site program. This is an example of the kind of sterile spec exam poster that we leave behind after doing the on-site program. It starts out with the fetal fibronectin and then goes through all the various specimens that setting might use and reminds the nurses of the detail about how to collect them. So what we know is that this is like a prize because most often this gets posted in labor and delivery, so everyone, including the physicians, get to see what the proper order is in that facility. So here's a few pictures taken at one of the earlier programs. The top left photo to the left seated is Beth Hill Karbowski, also one of our key faculty. And she's giving, what she's showing there is that we do include not just the skill, but also a little bit of primer about the about preterm birth and about the nature of doing a pelvic exam on a woman with a speculum. And you see a couple of the other photos of the nurses participating. You see the hands-on, working with the model, and being able to practice. Additional program content, as I just mentioned, we have within here the in the on-site program where the nurses do get this sort of a lecture and question and answer period about preterm birth, about state rates, area rates. We always try to make it relevant to the local area. The long-term impact and current research and treatment that's going on in the clinical setting. But also important is to educate the nurses about the elements of the speculum exam that all of us who do that routinely know about. Autonomy for the woman, respecting for privacy, and especially understanding the impact of prior sexual abuse histories for the women for a speculum exam. So we do include those in addition to specimen collection. We also leave resources for the nurses and the setting related to actually implementing the skill in practice there. So the nurses have the webinar slides and they have bibliography and key articles, but we also leave sample policies that can be moved into the nurses' policies at the setting. We leave the competency forms that the nurse can use in the clinical setting afterward. So they really get a whole package within this this clinical skills program to be able to implement at the local level. Usually we work with a coordinator on site. It's most often the nurse education person or the head of the nurses in the OBGYN, depending on the size of the facility. So the impact that we've had, the results we've had so far, is that over 10,000 nurses since 2007 have taken the online continuing education program. Since 2008 and 2009, we've prepared 10 clinicians with the faculty program that Elaine and I developed, and then we've had 59 on-site programs all over the U.S. There's a little more emphasis in the west and central part of the U.S. They seem more ready to implement it, and over 1,000 nurses have taken the on-site program. We've done evaluations each time, not to evaluate the program per se, but to evaluate the faculty pretty much. Much of my selecting faculty has to do with who I know can handle a large volume, smaller, the travel. And so we see some excellent evaluations for the nurses themselves and about the program. And some of these good category, we learned and adapted the program along the way. What we did find, though, is that 99% of the nurses felt they'd met their learning objectives. 98% would recommend the program again, and 99% felt that the hands-on practice had complemented the program. So we've done some feedback surveys in the process of evaluating the curriculum, making sure that it was updated, especially when the new Group B strep guidelines came out. We really needed to make sure the content was correct. We also did a post-program feedback surveys with the nurses, the program coordinators, and then with the faculty who went out to each of these. And we got some really great feedback. We did find out that 38% of the nurses who'd gone to the programs were routinely using the skills that they had learned and were routinely doing it in their site. About 30% of them were doing it intermittently, and what they told us that they would do it after hours or on the weekends and all of those times where there might not be residents running around or other people, and we know that to be an issue, of course, regarding cesareans and other kinds of birth outcomes. It's the time of the day. And the nurses were especially appreciative of the skill of sterile spec exam, but also the GC cultures, the Group B strep, and then the fetal fibronectin. Those were things that they were much less familiar with and felt that that aspect was extremely important to them. So we did make some modifications and revised the curriculum. And what we find ourselves on the verge of doing now is going to the next phase of this particular program. We have just been received notification that we're going to be funded to develop a web-based faculty training program, and that'll be being done this year. The reasons we need that is we need to expand the reach of the program. It was definitely clustered in geographically in ways that we'd like to expand. We also need to improve the saturation, and by that I mean that we weren't always able to get every single nurse at that setting because some of them had to cover labor and delivery, work nights, be on vacation, what have you. So what we're trying to do is prepare a person on site as a faculty member so that they can deliver the program and be the resource person for the nurses there on site. We also are trying to reduce the cost per program, and in so doing, this would prevent us from having, it's a higher cost, probably about $200 per nurse to actually be able to do this, and we want to get it down so that it can be offered in the setting. This will be a continuing education-based program for the nurses in the field. So we're really very pleased with this opportunity to expand the role of the nurses. We feel that it's in keeping with a 2010 Institute of Medicine report on the future of nursing, which spoke a lot about nurses should be able to practice to the full extent of their education and training. So even though that report focuses more on the midwives and advanced practice nurses, this is the way to do that same thing for the maternity nurses. So very pleased to be able to report on that.
Great. Thank you.